Okay.
My wife said you have to speak up or she won't be able to hear you.
Well, hopefully this...
You got the green light? Got to hold it down to get there.
I have no green lights.
All right.
Okay. Is that better? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah? Yeah, I have a tendency not to talk as loud as I should. I rely on the mic too much or not enough or whatever. You know that moment in Pastor's message when he was talking about, you know, sometimes he's the blocker and sometimes he's the guy that gives you a kick? Well, today I'm preaching because he gave me a kick. I didn't really feel like preaching today. And normally, you know, I have all my notes on my Kindle, right? You guys know that. I've said it multiple times, right? Well, this time I brought my notes with me because I'm not really preaching, per se. I'm going to teach you what God showed me in my devotions. Okay? And oftentimes when I'm doing my devotions, I'll have a half sheet of paper like this, and I'll just start scratching and writing stuff. And you know, there, you can see there's all kinds of little, and you probably can't see it because my handwriting is kind of small, but and there's all kinds of stuff on there. It doesn't make any sense. If you were to sit here and look at my notes, it would make no sense to you. But it makes perfect sense to me because I wrote down a bunch of verses and then some other verses and then some things that God gave me. And I was reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you want to turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. Every single one of you know this verse. I know you know this verse. Not one of us has not read this verse, not heard this verse preached on. Second Timothy 3:16. Let's pray before we get started. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that I have to share what you've shown me in your word. Lord, to me it's an amazing thing what you've done over the last few years in my life to even bring me to the point where I would be able to share what I'm sharing today is because of a journey that you've brought me on. And I just thank you for that. I pray that we would continue to walk together in that journey. I pray that as I share what you've shown me today, that maybe someone else will get a challenge like I was several years ago by Pastor John. Just thank you so much for even today the challenge that he gave to each one of us about your word and the importance of understanding that we actually have your word in our hands. Thank you for that. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. You see this right here? You guys know what this is? Mm-hmm. What is it?
Dollar
bill. Somebody reached back like this with this in their hand like this and said, "Better keep it short." You know what I said to him? I said, "I'm keeping that."
That was my
deal, huh? It was. It gets better. My wife goes, "I got a 20 in my purse. I'll throw it with that blanket." Feeling the love. So, when Ed was leading the second song or trying to get ready to lead the second song, and that whole little corner over there is laughing, that was the reason why. I was trying to be paid off. Neil, I got 2 pages of notes. I only usually have a little card, index card, if that gives you any indication.
It just makes me glad I didn't give you 20.
My wife is smart enough not to give me the 20. Everybody's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, right? All right, we've all read this verse. We have heard people preach on it, right? It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, in my little, in my daily devotions, I use this, I use my Kindle, all right? But I also have this on my computer, which most of the time that's where I'm reading my my Bible, is on my computer. But it's on my Kindle app, which allows me to type notes in on the keyboard on the laptop, which makes it real nice. So I don't have to try to do it on the keyboard that's on this. Because I tried to do that and it's not like very much fun. But I wrote in there, I said to myself, I said, I know that many have preached on the verse, especially those of the King James only camp. I do believe this verse is talking about all scripture. That's me talking about what I'm writing in there for my own devotions. If it is inspired of God, then every word is as if God himself is standing there speaking it to me. Mm-hmm. And then I put in parentheses, I said, future study. What do all these words mean? You know what I'm talking about? Not the first part of that verse, but the next part where it says it's profitable for. And the very first word says doctrine, right? And that's what Pastor John was talking about. I sent him a quick text and I asked him, what does doctrine mean? And he sent me back the typical pat answer. And this is what I've learned in fundamental churches for years and years and years, that it means teaching. And I was like, okay, Lord, Pastor John told me that the Bible will define itself. King James Bible will define itself. So I went on my computer, on my Google app, or on my Kindle app, and I pulled up, I typed in doctrine, and it pulled up 56 verses that's in the King James Bible. The word doctrine, or doctrines. That's one of the things that I didn't know, was that the majority of the time that it's referred to in the Bible is that it's referred to doctrine, singular. Of those 56 times, there's only 5 times that it's actually referred to as plural. And the interesting thing about that is all the singular times it's talking about God's doctrine, or Jesus Christ's doctrine, or the apostles' doctrine, which was given to them by Jesus Christ. The times that it's talking about it being plural, it talks about the doctrines of men, the doctrines of devils. Doctrines, not doctrine. Or strange doctrines. And I thought, all right, God, what does doctrine mean? So I'm, for 3 days in a row, and this is not the norm, because normally I've had situations where I've asked a question, what something means. And that's something that's happened over the last 3 years, almost 3 years, as I sat and talked to Pastor John one day, and actually over in his house, and we were talking about understanding the King James Bible and believing that you really have the Word of God in your hand, like he was talking about today. And so many people, so many pastors, so many men that have gone to school nowadays, They don't believe that the book that they have in their hand is the Word of God. I've sat under and listened to hundreds of men that will constantly go to commentaries when they get into a situation that they don't understand. They'll go and read some other man's interpretation of what that passage means. And I want to tell you one thing, that this is the most important thing that you get out of my whole message. So if you're not listening, listen to me right now. I learned this when I first got saved, and I got sidetracked. And Pastor John helped me get refocused. But you and the Holy Spirit are more intelligent than any other person out there.
That's right.
When it comes to the Word of God. Let me repeat that again. You and the Holy Spirit are more intelligent than anybody else out there when it comes to the Word of God. So if you're willing to study it and you're willing to pray, God will give you the answer. I want to put a precursor on that. He's not going to give you some deep theological thing if you can't figure out the everyday stuff.
That's right.
If you're not willing to spend the time reading the Bible to figure out what God just wants you to do on a day in and day out basis, He's not going to give you the stuff that's deep, what I consider deep. Well, there's 56 verses, so Neil, you better buckle in. I'm just kidding. We aren't going to go see all of them. Only the 51 that actually talk about doctrine. Turn to Isaiah 28, verse 9. Isaiah 28, verse number 9. This verse kind of reiterates what I just said, and I want to read it to you. Isaiah 28, verse number 9. I don't hear any more pages turning, so I'll assume that you're all there. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. If you're still eating the milk of the Word, He's not going to give you the deeper stuff. You need to be dealing with that stuff on a day in and day out basis. And I know that we're not all been saved for 30 some years like I have been. We're not all able to sit and look at a passage and then have God bring hundreds of verses into your mind because you've spent hours and hours and hours studying it. And you know that statement that I said about you and God, you and the Holy Spirit are more intelligent than anybody else. I don't think Pastor John, and I don't mean this to be an insult, I don't think Pastor John is the smartest man.
That's exactly right.
That walks the face of the earth. But he knows the Word of God because he spent hours upon hours between him and God studying it. And we sit and listen to him and marvel, right? But every single one of us can have that same ability. We can know the Word of God the same as Pastor John does. But we have to make a commitment to do that. We have to make a commitment, first off, to know that you have the Word of God in your hand and that you can trust that Word. Trust it impeccably. If you can't trust it, then you're going to question it every step of the way. And when you start questioning the Word of God, you're questioning Jesus Christ. Right? That's what Pastor John told us today in the message. When you start questioning the Word of God, you're questioning Jesus Christ. And when you're questioning Jesus Christ, you might be questioning your own salvation. You understand that?
That's right. Yep.
Okay, let's go back to Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:3. I'm not gonna take you all over the Bible today. But I am gonna show you. Now I did look up all these verses, the 56 verses. I looked them all up. And for 3 days I was praying over them, reading them, praying, and asking questions. Asking all kinds of questions, like what does this mean? Why does it mean that? God, I don't understand it. If it means teaching, then why does it say this in 1 Timothy 1:3? Because that was the first question I had to ask myself. And grammatically, it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not a great English person, but I've taken college level English, and I know that when you have something that's redundant in a sentence, you're going to get marked off for it. And 1 Timothy 1:3, if the meaning of doctrine is teaching, and only teaching, then God would not have done this. He would not have written it like this. It says, as I besought thee to abide still as Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, if doctrine means teaching, then it would be saying that some charge some that they teach no other teaching. And in the English language, that is not a proper sentence, is it? Would not be a proper sentence. Am I correct, Ashley? So if the definition of doctrine is teaching, and teaching only, then that sentence is grammatically wrong. And I can't believe that the perfect word of God written to us in the English language would ever be wrong. So I had to say to myself, doctrine is not just teaching. It's not that doctrine isn't teaching or that you don't teach doctrine, but it's not the definition. That's what God showed me. Okay? So I'm like, okay, God, what is it? And I'm going to take you to some verses that God took me to. Okay? Through my app, of course, but he took me there, and then I had to start asking questions. And I want to give you a little analogy. How many of you have siblings? Is anybody in here twins with a sibling? No? I know a few people that I went to school with. There was three kids that I went to school with. They were twins. Three different sets of families had twins. Now, some of them are identical twins. You know what identical twins are? Where if they're standing side by side, it's little kids, you have a tough time determining who they are. Oftentimes, it's not until they open their mouth and start talking that you realize, okay, I know who you are, and I know who your sister is, or I know who you are, and I know who your brother is. Because they're not the same, right? They may look the same, they may act somewhat the same, but they're not the same. There's something different about them. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about when we go to these verses next. Even though you have a sibling, they grew up in the same home, oftentimes, not all the time, I understand that. They had the same parents, you had the same influences. You're completely different. Even though you're still brother and sister, or sister and sister, or brother and brother, you're completely different. There's a connection there. And that's the important thing that I want to tell you, is that doctrine is... there's a connection there between teaching. So the definition wasn't necessarily wrong. It just wasn't explained the proper way, and it hasn't been being explained the proper way. It may have been at one time, but I haven't heard it taught that way. But it has a lot of the same characteristics. It's from the same family. Okay? I want you to understand that. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, number 6 is the verse. First Corinthians 14, verse number 6. And as you get there, you'll understand that there's a list of things that we see here in this verse. It says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine?" Well, there's a list of things that, again, we go back to the English language. God's not going to repeat himself in a sentence. It's not going to be redundant. So we got to know that a revelation is not necessarily the same as doctrine, since we're working with that word. Knowledge is not the exact same thing as doctrine, or that would be redundant. And prophecy is not the same thing as doctrine, because that would be being redundant, right? Can we agree on that?
Yep.
Okay. Good, because that's what I thought. I didn't spend a lot of time, to be honest with you, trying to chase down the meanings of these words. And I don't necessarily know them completely. I do have a general understanding of what revelation means. At the time that was written, we didn't have the full canon.
Right.
So there was still
yep.
things being revealed.
Yep.
Okay? And again, like I said, I haven't confidently studied that completely out, so I don't want you to, you know, write that down and say, well, that's the definition. But, and then knowledge. We all acknowledge it's a learning. We all have experienced some form of learning. We've all learned some things. So we know most people have gone to school that live in the United States. One of the great things about living in the United States, we have that as a privilege. And it may not necessarily be the best like it was at one time, but and then prophecy. Again, at the time that this was being written, there were still people that were prophesying about things that were going to happen. A perfect example was when John went on the Isle of Patmos, and everything that he wrote was a prophecy of what is going to happen. And it's pretty amazing if you study that out. And then by doctrine. So that word is again brought up in this passage in the Bible, in the King James Bible, and you'll see it's singular there. If you skip down 20 verses to verse 26 in chapter 14, you'll see another list of things. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation." Again, I'm not going to belabor what those all mean. It's just that there was another list of things, and I knew that I was narrowing down the definition because it wasn't what those other things were. And that's what... I kept praying, and God kept saying, okay, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. All right? Now, I want to ask a question of you guys. How many of you ever have gone through this experience with the Word of God? You have, I know for sure. How many of y'all else have?
There's a few here.
Okay. It's an amazing thing when God actually gives you the answer. And I text him when God gave it to me, like moments after God gave it to me. And it came, and when I get to that point, you're going to just shake your head and you're going to be like, how in the world? Why in the world? That doesn't make any sense at all. But God used it, and it makes a lot of sense. After I explain how God used it, it'll make a lot of sense. But I text him and I said, God gave me the answer, and right now I'm just absolutely pumped. I was so stinking excited that day. You could have touched me with a 100-foot pole. I was so excited. I mean, it's just amazing. And the thing is it only took God and for me and God to get together in 4 days. Now, in the time that I've talked to Pastor John and we've been back and forth before we were going here, one of the words that I looked up in the Bible, in the King James Bible, was meekness. And it took me a month and a half before God gave me the answer to that, what meekness really meant. And it's not what the fundamentals tell you that it means. Pastor John has eloquently taught you guys what meekness means. And it's, now I hadn't had the privilege of sitting under his teaching. But I can tell you this right now, even though I sat under his teaching and I've learned things from him, one thing that he's taught me that's the most important thing that I've taken away from this is that don't trust another man to tell you what the Word of God says. Don't trust another man. Be a Berean. I mean, who searches the Scriptures? And that should be our goal, is to search the Scriptures. And let God tell you what it means. Don't go in there. And I told him this in a text. I said, I'm not going in with any preconceived notions that I know what doctrine means. Because I've done that before. I've even gotten desperate in the past and I've gone and looked at commentaries. Or I've typed it into Google. Not doctrine, but other things. Or I've gone to the dictionary to look up a word in the King James Bible to see what the English word means. And you guys know last time I had a little fun with that. When I preached last time, I was talking about falling. Remember that? No, you can look something up in a dictionary. You can go to the to Google. You can use eSort, or you know, even I used the app on here and did a search. You know, those are useful tools. But I let God and the Word of God speak to me about what it meant. Okay, so 3 days in, I still didn't have an answer. Next morning I wake up and I'm praying. I'm like, okay, God, I'm still wrestling with this. What does this mean? And I no sooner than finished, and God said, Mike, you know what the United States Constitution is? Like, yes, God, I know what the United States Constitution is. Do you guys know what the United States Constitution is? You do? You know that legally, everything that this country does, every single thing that this country does, has to go through the Constitution. Did you know that?
No.
You did, right? It doesn't necessarily, right? And that's where we get into they don't enjoy sound doctrine. And you remember all those words: knowledge, revelation, interpretation. The men that wrote the Constitution of the United States, they were very smart men. We know that. There are 27. As of right now, 27 amendments to the Constitution of the United States. 27. Let that number sink in. It's not very many, is there? But there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of laws that are written in this country that are based on that piece of paper, that Constitution. God used that to show me what doctrine is. Doctrine, and I haven't fully developed what Christ's doctrine was or what God's doctrine was, but it's the very underpinnings of your belief system. Put it in today's vernacular, It is your core beliefs. Pastor John, this is a good example for, and it was great because he preached it today. One of Pastor John's doctrine is that he believes that the King James Bible is the Word of God, without a shadow of doubt in his mind. If you sit and talk to him for any length of time, at all, and I mean it, for any length of time, it could be 5 minutes, 1 minute, it could be an hour, you're going to hear that he believes that the King James Bible is the Word of God. That's what a doctrine is. It's a core belief. It's something that you base your whole entire life on. There was a time that Baptists had what they called doctrine, or doctrines, or doctrinal statements. One of the Baptist distinctives is that we believe that the Bible is the sole authority for everything. Right? You don't know something? There are a lot of churches that don't believe that that's a doctrine anymore.
That's right.
Because a doctrine is something that is your very foundation. You're going to talk about it all the time, just like Pastor John does. And you literally, if you guys spend any time, you guys know that that's what he does. I mean, I hardly knew him, and he was telling me for, I stood over there in the foyer for an hour and a half, probably with a blank stare on my face, while he told me all the things about the King James Bible. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, it's like, doesn't this guy know that I go to a King James Bible? Doesn't he know I go to Pastor Haynes' old church? Doesn't he realize that I understand this stuff? But that's his doctrine. It's his core belief. And everything else is based on that. Everything in his life is based on that. But the church nowadays says that if a Baptist tells me that they believe that the Bible is the sole authority, then why are they not taking just the Bible and praying? Instead, they run to commentaries. Instead, they run to the Google. Instead, they run all over the place. It's not a doctrine to them anymore. It's not their core belief anymore. Most of them don't even believe that they have the Word of God in their hands anymore. So how can it be the sole authority?
Right.
It's ridiculous. The very underpinnings. So, every single person in the United States, every single person in the world has a doctrine that they go by. It may be just that they're apathetic about life, or apathetic about where they're at. But if you talk to anybody that's excited about something in their life, it could be anything. It could be a diet plan. It could be their job. It could be that they're an American. So there's some people that are very, very patriotic. That's their doctrine. It's their underpinning. It makes up who they are. Why is we as Christians have we lost godly doctrine? Because I can tell you this. I know a lot of men that can sit and tell me exactly what the Baptist distinctives are. They can name them off. But they don't live by them.
No.
It's not their core value. It's not who they really are. Because if you sit and talk to them for any length of time, you find out that they don't really have a doctrine like Pastor John does. With the King James Bible is completely and totally in control of his life. 100%. And we're going to get to hear that for the next how many weeks? Until God decides to I think there was a time that men would die for their doctrinal beliefs. Because I can go and read in the history books where men have died because they would not bow to the Church of England. Because they were not going to accept the infant baptism that they were brought under before before they actually got saved and got baptized. You know, it says in Matthew 7:28, and you can turn there if you'd like. Now, before we get into that a little bit, I want to talk about there is a, such a thing, and if you spend any time studying this, the word doctrine, you'll see that there's a doctrine of the Pharisees and the doctrine of the scribes. I don't completely understand what what that means. Excuse me. But I know that it wasn't good. They were very judgmental people. Jesus Christ called them hypocrites. And in this passage that we're in right now, Matthew 7, verse number 28, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." This is not the only place in the Bible where it says that they were astonished at Jesus' doctrine. And I said to myself, "Mike, what was Jesus' doctrine? Why were they so astonished at it? Was he that great of a teacher that they just marveled that he had opened the scripture?" I said, maybe so. But I've sat under great teachers, and they get boring after a while, because we all have the attention span of about a gnat. Some of you would like to be falling asleep right now instead of listening to me for the next 10 minutes. And I don't blame you. I think there was something different about Jesus Christ because of something that God brought to my mind. Matthew 22, verse number 38 through 40. Now, I've read these verses before, and I always thought, oh, that's interesting. I've even quoted them. Matthew 22, verse number 38. And it wasn't until I read them in light of this verse chapter number 7:28, where they marveled at his doctrine. It says in verse number 38 of chapter 22 of Matthew, "This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And then verse number 40, "And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You realize that's like the majority of the Old Testament? And two commandments. Mm-hmm. Remember the Constitution, 27? I think that was Jesus' doctrine. Love God with all your heart. And the second is like unto it. Love people.
Well, that's good.
When God showed me that verse, brought me to that verse, brought that back to my mind, and I said, holy cow, you know what? That is every single thing that Jesus' ministry was all about on this earth. Almost every single thing, and I'm saying almost because I haven't studied it out in light of that. Every single thing that he taught was in light of those two things. Those were his underpinnings, his doctrine, and that's why they marveled at it. They marveled at it because they weren't hearing that from the Pharisees. They weren't hearing that from the scribes. All they were hearing from them was, you got to do it this way. And even says in Matthew, Matthew, it talks about the scribes, that they want the chief place. They want the recognition. They want a pat on the back. I think that that was their doctrine.
Yes, sir.
They wanted to be recognized for being something special. And Jesus was showing them something completely different. They had never seen before. Maybe not in their generation, maybe in never in any generation that had to do with the Jews. You know that the majority of us in this room, I'm pretty sure that most of us don't have any Jewish heritage, right? That a Jewish person would walk across on the other side of the road because they considered us pigs. And yet Jesus walked up to a man that had leprosy and he touched him.
Amen.
Before he healed him, said he had compassion on him. He was loving men. Something that the Pharisees weren't doing. I don't even think they probably loved their own descendants, the Jewish people. I have a feeling that they were so stuck on themselves and on the office that they had that they didn't want anything to do with even the people of their own nation. And that's pretty sad. For me, now I have plenty of things to study just from learning the definition of one word. The definition that for me now is what is my doctrine? What would I die for? What do I talk about all the time? Like Pastor John. Do I have a love like Jesus had? For my Father? For my Savior? Do I have a love for other men? Like my Savior did? Would I walk up to a man that had leprosy and put my hand on him? Even if Jesus Christ gave me the power to heal him? Would I do that before? Or would I judge that person? Would I get angry at them because they're an inconvenience to me? What is my core beliefs? What are your core beliefs? Can I spend an hour with you? Will I know what you really believe? I can spend 10 minutes with him and know exactly where he stands on the Bible. Can I say that about you guys? Can you say that about me? Because I'm going to say to my shame, you wouldn't be able to. You ever heard the saying before, is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian if you had to stand before a judge? How many of you would be convicted of being a Christian? That's what doctrine means. It's who you are. It's what you are. Every second. And sadly, for me, I'm being totally honest right now. My doctrine has been pretty apathetic about the Word of God, about what I believe, who I am, what I am, what kind of husband I am to my wife, what kind of spiritual leader I've been. Pathetic. How many of you are reading your Bible?
Oh.
Every day. Because remember what that first part of the verse was that we first went to in 2 Timothy 3:16? It says the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. If you're not in it, if you're not studying it, you're not slowing down and reading it, not just to read it, not just to open up the Daily Bread or whatever devotional book you use, or if you use a book at all, if you're not spending the time studying it, God's not going to speak to you. Maybe you don't want Him to speak to you. Maybe that's the reason why you don't read it. Trust me, I've been there. Too many times in my life I've been there. This book is profitable for our lives. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. I'm going to end with that verse. That's my exhortation to you. Till Jesus comes, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. Pastor had a great, Pastor Hain had a great sermon on exhorting. And to doctrine. Figure out what your doctrine is. Somebody spent 5-10 minutes with you, an hour with you. Will they know who you are, what you believe? Because if they won't, then that's your doctrine. That's your core belief. It may be, I don't believe anything at all, really. I talk about it once in a while. I talk about believing in Jesus Christ, but I don't really believe it. Baptists talk about the Bible being the sole authority, but I don't think they really believe it anymore. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to share what you shared with me. Lord, I pray that each one of us would have the opportunity to go home today and just to be challenged by your word. I pray that this next week that you'll take your word and help us as a people to know what we really, really believe. Not just to say that I believe in the baptism after salvation or any of the things that the church said they do, that we would really believe what we believe between you and I and the Word of God. Thank you again that we actually have the Word of God and we can become confident in that. Thank you that we have a pastor that believes that wholeheartedly and is willing to preach it from the pulpit. Thank you that I can use him as an example today of what doctrine really is. And that every single one of us knows that he lives that out every single day of his life. Yes, he's singing Christ in your mind.
You know, I got a couple of things here. Number one, in all my years of study, I've never had anybody point that out before, that when doctrine was plural, it was never good.
Right.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you think about it, what's the core belief of a Pharisee? Depends what moment you talk to him. Alright, what's his core belief? Well, one point is to exalt himself. The next point is to put you down. He's got many core beliefs, and he can pull them out as he needs them. What's the core belief of devils? Many different ones. The core belief of men? Many different ones. And that's really a problem. You need to have a core belief. It's good. So where you and the Word of God together have come down, where really is your core? Where could they ever dig deep? They've got down as deep into you as they can, and this is what they found in the middle of it. An old Frank Zappa song out years ago says, "Girl, you think he is a man, but he's nothing but a mom." And, you know, you dig down to the center of the guy, there's nothing there. Now, here's the second thing. The statement, and I've really rolled this around, you and the Spirit of God are more intelligent than any other person, any professor, any Bible college, or any commentary. I thought about that, and I thought, yes, that is exactly, I think he has nailed exactly, very simple sentence, what I've tried to say for 10 years and never said it well that way. Now the question is, Tanya, do you believe that? Now, I remember when you used to believe you were more intelligent than any person without the Spirit of God. All right? All right? But do you really believe that? Do you believe that when you and the Spirit of God are together with that Bible, that he is able to teach you as well as any person on this earth? Audie, do you really believe that? Do you believe that you and a King James Bible, the Spirit of God helping you, that there's nothing in that Bible that he couldn't teach you that he could teach another person? Now, Chris, do you believe that? Do you believe that you, the Spirit of God, and the King James Bible are as intelligent as any single person on this earth? Okay? What do you think about that? That's a great statement. Once you're honored and you have the Word of God and you know this is it, quit saying, "Oh, he wouldn't teach a little nobody like me." Okay? Maybe the fact you're a nobody only enhances his desire to teach you more. Okay? God has not chosen. All right? You know the why. He chose this world, the confounding things that are wise. And again, well, let me just, and I'm going to close with this. I've told this story before, but it helps people to understand my thinking of the Word of God. As a fairly young man sitting in the back seat and Bill Randall in the front seat talking with a friend of his, Alan Archer, if I remember right. And they were talking Bible, and I had only been around Pastor Randall a few months. But at that point, I'd read tons of commentaries. I'd read everything with Peter Ruckman's office. I mean, just tons of stuff. And I just never heard of anybody who knew the Bible like this guy was saying. So from the back seat, I said to him, "Do you know anybody that knows the Word of God as well as you do?" He ignored that question. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strength. But, let me look. A little while later, it was a long conversation, I asked him again. See the grief on his face, actually, when I asked him. What I mean. So a little later, I asked him again. He pulled the car over to the shoulder of the road, looked back at me, put his finger in my face, and said, "I don't know anyone who believes the Bible as much as I do." In other words, if one says doctrines, the other says doctrine, that there's a difference. That I see the word teaching, I see the word doctrine together, and I know they can't be the same. That once that thing hits you, you realize this Bible is exact. There's nothing God can't teach you. It's just that 35 years ago, when Bill Randall put his finger in my face, probably about 37 years ago when he did that, there were so few men that believed the King James Bible like that. Today, there's more, but very few of them pay that price. It thrills me, some of you, to get a hold of me, and I realize there's just no joy like that. And again, you always astound me with the questions you ask, because it's something I never thought of. Why? remember, the next time you sit there stumped over a question, remember the formula. Me and the Spirit of God. There's no one more time. Just remember that formula. I absolutely believe that. It's just that there. I just really that. Just rolled that around in my head. Couldn't actually wait to get up here to the Lord. So I wish you had him. So the other thing is trusting that book. That if it says it, it does mean it. Have the context right and know what it says. There are things that it took me 25 years of bowing my head and praying to get. This year God showed me something 35 years. 35 years of bowing my head and praying to never get it. Finally, there it is. There's other things. 10 minutes after I ask the question, it's come to me. I know I have it from the Word of God. There's nobody here that God doesn't want to have that relationship. Love, my thank you.